بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في محكم التنزيل بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأخذنا منكم ميثاقا غليظا صدق الله العظيم. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May He shower His choicest of peace and blessings upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, his companions, and upon all those who tread His path in the day of Qiyamah. Respected brothers, in our last khutbah, in fact 2 months back, we discussed about the causes for divorce in our community. Inshallah ta'ala, in today's lecture too, we'll be discussing on another factor which contributes to divorce in our community. Before we start off, I would like to highlight on some points which we discussed in that khutbah. In brief, marriage is a union where two partners get together to have an everlasting bond so that they be partners here and as well as in Jannah. That's the sole purpose of marriage. So while living, there'll be differences they will have to face because both parties are not the same. Both parties are not flawless. All of them have weaknesses. Husband has certain weaknesses. The wife has certain weaknesses. So it's a challenge. They have to face it. It's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By faring well, he's going to enter Jannah. And then we discussed about two factors which mainly contributes. Number one was the weakness of the foundation, or in other words, an un-Islamic foundation for that marriage is a cause for many divorces in this part of the country. So there we discussed about where at times there are sisters who force their wali to get them married to their friend or their lover, or so on and so forth. They force their wali, can be the father or the brother. And if they threaten their wali, saying that if you don't do it, I know how to do it. There are so many young sisters who say that. And due to that force, the wali is left without any other option. So they stand as wali for the nikah, and the nikah takes place. And then we had another example of where the wali forces a sister to get married. Without her will, without her wish, without her permission, there are so many nikahs taking place. And then we highlighted on the point that there are some promises which are made by the brothers before, prior nikah, but they don't fulfill it. So when it comes to filling the form, the marriage registration, they write, I promise that I'm going to pay you this much of mahar. But the marriage starts, the union, they embark on this marriage journey. But halfway through, when the girl's side asks for this mahar, and then it turns out to become a big argument and family is split. So promise is not fulfilled. And then the second factor which we discussed was about the lack of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the couple. So when two parties involved in disobedience, or even if one person disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happens is there is a gap between the relationship. The two start to have, their lives are diverse, but they start living apart from each other. So mainly we highlighted on the point that two bodies can meet, but nobody can make two hearts meet. So the hearts meet only through the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then I would like to highlight on a hadith today to highlight that fact. In the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves some slave, He calls Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam and He tells him, O Jibreel, I love this slave of mine, you love him, and ask the inmates of the heavens to love him as well. Jibreel alayhi salam loves that slave, and then he announces to the inmates of heaven, who are the angels, saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves so and so, I too love him, all angels love the same individual. And then all the angels in the heavens love that one particular individual because of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his life. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the impact of the love from the heavens, when it reaches the earth, the inmates of the earth, those who are living on the face of this earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala casts or puts that love into their hearts and they love this individual. And one of the most precious love is when the husband expects the wife to love him and the wife expects the husband to love her. And one of it's a simple ingredient. If all of us have to inculcate that in our lives, that we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our lives become blissful. And we also discussed about the qawl, a statement of a salaf. He said, whenever I disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I used to see the impact of that disobedience in the attitude of my animal and also in the attitude of my wife. So these were the two main points, and we discussed about certain individuals who had to face different things in their lives. So today, inshallah ta'ala, let's see the third factor. What contributes to divorce in our country, in this part of the country, inshallah ta'ala. Before we go there, we need to remind ourselves that marriage is a 24-hour ibadah. Marriage is a 24-hour ibadah. Whether it is looking at the spouse with love, with that affection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us. Even if it is feeding a morsel of food into her mouth, is rewarded. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it is sadaqah. Asking for forgiveness, Allah loves it. Fulfilling the desire, it is sadaqah. Smiling at each other is rewarding. So in short, each and every act in a marriage, if it is done in the right way, the man is investing 24 hours in his life. For example, if he is calling home from office to get close to his wife, it is also rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which most of us might think at times, we might trivialize that act. But inshallah ta'ala, let's see how we can unpack that. Shaitan is waiting to separate couples. Sahih Muslim, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Shaitan has his throne on the water, and all his groups, they come in as individuals and they start telling, giving their updates of the day to the head. So he says, you know, I made this person miss his prayers, I made this person to lie. No, Shaitan is who makes us do all that. But Shaitan will say, okay, it's good, good job, and he will allow the Shaitans to leave. But the moment a Shaitan comes and says, I was able to bring separation between a couple, the moment Shaitan hears this, Shaitan congratulates, applauses, and he is extremely happy because there is a separation between a couple. Why is he happy? That's the question. The reason is, when a marriage union has this separation, when the couple start living apart or their hearts are no longer attracted to each other, that is the beginning of a generation to topple. Marriage is a union where they are going to have children and a civilization, a generation is to come. But when there is separation, all these dreams, these goals, these aims which the couple had is shattered into pieces within seconds. So Shaitan is happy. These children are going to lose their father, they are going to lose their mother, they are going to be homeless, they are going to end up in streets, they are not going to find that individual who is going to show them that true love. So these children are going to become the bad apples of the society. Shaitan is happy. So a lot of corruption will come from this union. So he is happy that they have separated. That is why he is happy. It is not because they both are not talking. That's not it. It's a long-term happiness. So when a talaq takes place, Shaitan is very happy. Because The destruction of that family has just started at times. Allahu Akbar. Khair. Now coming back to the third point which I want to discuss is, lack of marriage education is one of the contributing factors in the rates of divorce in our community. So when it comes to lack of marriage education, sometimes you might think, did we have something of this sort in the past? Did our parents, did our grandparents or great-grandfathers have this marriage education where somebody had to spend hours learning how to live life? Times have not changed, people have changed. Like Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi says, نُعِيبُ زَمَانَنَا وَالْعَيْبُ فِينَا وَمَا لِزَمَانِنَا عَيْبٌ سِوَانَا. He said, people blame time, yet, but people are the cause for all the problems. وَمَا لِزَمَانِنَا عَيْبٌ سِوَانَا. Time has no defect, no problem, except we living in that time. Individuals have changed. Today we see the rates of divorce, it's in the rise compared to the past. It's very high. When we ask those individuals who are responsible in certain courts, 15, 20 years back, their statistics will say it was far lesser compared to today. So those, then the priorities of life was different. Today the priorities of individuals have become different. The wife's priority is different. Husband's is different. They are looking at marriage in a different perspective. So I would like to share two incidents which we have faced it, we have confronted and we were able to mediate in the case. There was this very educated brother, he was a professional. He was a professional in a certain field, who is looked up in society. He was in the mid-40s. So you know how far he's seen life. In his mid-40s. He came to us, and when we explained certain simple things, when it comes to understanding the partner, because I'm younger to him. And after the session was over, he asked me, this is the first time in my life I've heard something like this, that we have a gender difference. That the way they think and we think is different. The way they speak and we speak is different. Their perception is different and ours is different. And the brother is in the mid-40s and he says, it's only now I know that. And so many months I've been facing a lot of difficulties because I didn't understand my wife. This is one case. There was another one. There was a brother who had this policy. He had a very bad ego. Some men have this. And the ego in men are very fragile. That's a topic to be discussed. But he had a very bad ego. So he doesn't want to get his wife's opinion on anything. He doesn't want to listen to his wife. So we spoke to him. And thereafter he asked how to treat the ego and we helped him out. But what happened during the session was, this brother, he was on the opinion, some of you also might be in the opinion, but you can agree or disagree. He said, marriage is a union where we have to give and take. So what he says is, if I invest in my wife, if I have to spend some time with her, if I have to support her financially, she is supposed to give something in return. This is his expectations. But the wife is not looking at life in that angle. According to her, it is not give and take. She says it is give and give. So we had both of them in a session and the brother says it's mine is give and take. And she says it's give and give. Only then the brother knew that his wife didn't agree with give and take. These are simple things. These are things which have to be taught to our youngsters prior marriage by those who are responsible. Number one, parents. They are supposed to teach their children about this, at least these small differences. If a person wants to do, he wants to run a trading or he's running his own office, he's into whatever field, he's going to approach the ulama and ask them the Islamic way to do it. But how many youth today are ready to sit with those elders or scholars to learn about life? They think, alhamdulillah, if I read online, that's enough. Mashallah, you're doing a good job. But you have to go and sit with your parents and learn how to live a life. Sometimes we see couples who have lived for decades, 6 decades. The couple is 60 years together. Ajib. We have to appreciate it. Because today we see some brothers, their marriage doesn't survive for a week. Some don't survive for 3 days. The marriage has been dissolved. The reason, one of the reasons is lack of education. So we say it is compulsory for a man before he embark on this, this noble journey of being a husband or a wife, he should learn how to live. But most of us think we are men. We know how to live. In some of our programs, when we discuss about the duties, most of the men think that if I fulfill the duties, the financial responsibility, if I support my wife financially, that's sufficient. That's what most of the men think. Some men who have a little bit of deep understanding, they would have heard a little bit of lectures and stuff, they will say, I have to spend some time with them, mashallah, good. But each of these points can be discussed for hours. You can discuss it for hours. How to discuss your financial matters with your spouse is a topic which will take hours. But we think, I know it. What else is there to learn? So in one of our program, we discussed about the duties of the husband. And soon after the program, the brother said, I never thought that so many duties are under it's on my shoulder. He thought it's just, get a house, get a nice vehicle, start living, spend for the family, that's it. But on the other hand, women folk too have the same problem. They have high expectations. Men too have high expectations before marriage. And when they see the reality of life, or because of the lack of knowledge, they see one side of the coin. They don't see the correct version of life. And they, they haste, they rush for decisions which they are going to regret forever at times. Khair. So those who acquire knowledge before marriage or even after marriage, no restrictions, that is insha'Allah ta'ala going to help them to protect their marriage from divorce at least insha'Allah ta'ala 70 to 80%, because they are supposed to be learning on how to make this marriage survive. A pilot knows to fly, but when there is turbulence, he needs to learn how to handle that as well. If not, everybody will become a pilot. It will be an easy job. Just take, go on air and just start flying. During turbulence, I leave it to God, let Him take control of it. Some youngsters, they start life the same way. He doesn't have a driving license, he starts driving in the roads. The moment he sees, the vehicle is speeding, it's out of control, just leave the steering and he faces what he doesn't want. Marriage is not that. He needs to learn, he needs to invest time. It is sad truth to see in our community today, we spend millions of rupees for the function. We spend months preparing for the function. But how many individuals spent hours to learn about how to be a good husband, how to be a good wife? How many? It's a big question. How many fathers are ready to send their children to learn? How many parents have that maturity to teach their own sons and daughters, son, you're going to embark on a journey, these are the things you're going to face, and this is how you have to face it. Sometimes when there is a proposal which comes, we see special attention is given to the qualifications, mashallah, which is good, which is not un-Islamic, it's all right, but he's a professional, he's drawing a good salary, he's hailing from a good family, alhamdulillah, that's fine. We have dealt with so many professionals who are looked up in society, who have got their masters or PhDs or whatever, but when it comes to their marriage life, a pauper who is living in a hut knows to live a marriage life than this individual. The poor man in the road, he knows to live a life. There was this brother whose his wife was expecting, and as we all know, the mood of a woman fluctuates during pregnancy, during her monthly periods, and during various different other times. So this brother, because of her mood fluctuation while she's expecting, he started to call her, "You are depressed. You are being affected by a psychological disorder." But he's a learned man. Even a child will understand, when my mother is expecting a child, her moods might fluctuate. A 16-year-old, an 18-year-old would understand that. But this poor man, who has passed his 30s, doesn't understand that the wife is not depressed. It is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created her. So the third person has to come and explain that to him. But mashallah, worldly, he's looked up. The world would salute him. The world is deriving a lot of benefit from him. But when it comes to family union, it's a simple thing which he doesn't know. So respected brothers and elders in Islam, you might think, okay, what do we need to learn then? What do we need to learn? We need to learn the duties of the couple. Both the women folk and the men have to learn the duties. Then they need to learn about understanding the wife or the partner. They need to learn how to communicate. All these are hours of discussion. How do we communicate? It's an art. Are we to communicate with our spouse the way we communicate with our friend? Or is there a different art? And they have to educate themselves about how to strengthen the marriage, because the initial stages are generally, or most of the time, it's very nice. That's the beginning. Some will have for many years. But the moment children come in, and the one becomes two, and then three, the priorities in life change. At this moment, how do I work towards strengthening the bond with my wife? It's an art which has to be learned. And then, if a person finds that his wife is not under his control, she's going beyond limits, he needs to learn how to reform her. Quran speaks about it in Surah An-Nisa. The reformation steps. How am I going to advise her? How am I going to approach her? What are the things which I can overlook? What are the things I need to address? Today we address about the salt in the gravy, but we will not address about so many other important things like missing salah, for example. So there are so many other things like this which an individual needs to learn prior marriage. But in short, we see great people like Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. If you can go online and search this, the advices which he gave to his son on the day he was getting married is the summary of a happy marriage. Advices of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal to his son on the day his son was getting married. Not only that, there is another example of Umamah ibn Haris. Her advices to her daughter on the day her daughter was getting married. So respected brothers, just as we give priority to prepare for a marriage, let us all focus more on how can our youngsters today learn the art of living life as a husband and a wife. Because if we fail to do that, the generation to come through that marriage is at high risk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all our marriages. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us, teach us the art of living life the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived. Wa akhir da'wa ya alhamdulillahi.